Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
We cannot continue to leave so many children behind. This quality education for every child is truly the civil rights issue of today. Every child needs access to that, and we're just not getting there fast enough.
Our 12th graders in science and mathematics worldwide are near the bottom. The number of new scientific publications coming out a year is going down proportionate to the growth rate in other countries. The number of new patents is being passed by other countries. And so we're falling behind in science and engineering.
It is critical, given the acceleration of science, that we start inverting that trend. And a company like ours can only prosper by having some of the best scientists all over the world, and obviously it's a lot easier to have them locally.
Statewide, we have over 250,000 jobs in the biotechnology industry. California is an incredibly important part of the global biotechnology industry. So these jobs are not only important to us in the state, they're important to us globally. In terms of economic impact, these jobs generate over $60 billion in economic impact for the state. These are high-paying jobs. They're the kind of jobs that every economic development organization on the planet, I think, would like to attract.
In order to be successful as a holistic company, whether you're doing marketing, whether you're doing manufacturing, or whether you're doing R&D, it is absolutely critical to have a very strong foundation in sciences. A very large portion of our sales force today has master or PhDs in life sciences, the same thing in marketing.
I'd like to point out that in our companies, even those jobs outside the lab require an understanding of the science related to the products. So almost all of the employees in our organization have at least baccalaureate degrees in some technical discipline, regardless of the discipline they are serving in our companies.
It's particularly important for us to convey the excitement of science in general and overall, the excitement going on in biomedicine and stem cell and protein folding and the issues with space and cold dark matter and cosmology and being able to understand what the universe is composed of. These are exciting things, and we need to convey those to students and people outside the university so that they can participate in it, enjoy it, and hopefully encourage students to get into science.
We're constantly looking for math and science teachers. Right now, there are classrooms in San Diego County that have had long-term subs teaching those courses, and that doesn't speak well for the future. Because in the pipeline is just not there to fulfill that need.
The issue we're talking about is not just a local disconnect. Nationally, we are struggling with the fact that not enough young people are pursuing degrees in the technical disciplines to meet the needs overall. The real question is a very stark one, and that's whether our own children will be able to compete for the world's best jobs.
A new program called California Teach aims to attract some of the state's most talented science and mathematics undergraduates to careers in teaching, where they can instill their own passion for science and mathematics in the next generation.
On full build-out, we expect to be producing 1,000 science and math teachers per year. These 1,000 teachers trained each year will, over the course of 10 years of teaching, have an impact on over 1 million young people in California, creating better futures for them and creating a strong economic foundation for California.
What we must do now is target our resources to encourage more math and science students to choose a career in education, and then prepare them to be highly trained and highly competent science and math teachers in our kindergarten through 12th grade public education. Elements of this new initiative include a four-year program that will combine a math, science, or engineering degree with academic training for teaching credential, and a one-year paid teaching internship to help graduates enter the teaching workforce. and a mentor teacher program to help students learn the most effective instructional methods and much more.
At each campus of the University of California, CalTeach has its own flavor. At UC San Diego, the undergraduate component of CalTeach is embodied in two new minors, one in mathematics education and one in science education. The courses in the minors take a unique approach that helps students get inside their own heads and the heads of their students.
So it's not enough to just stand up in the classroom and tell people what you know. It's not enough when a student says, "I don't understand," to say it a second time louder. It doesn't work. You have to understand where that student is. You have to understand what processes they're trying to go, what mistakes they might make. And the only way to do that is to actually experience it yourself.
In the courses I've taught that are related to the science education minor, I think what has been most surprising to the students that I've had in my classes is that they've learned that we can't treat other students as though they are blank slates. You can't assume that you are getting someone coming to you in a classroom at any level that has no prior knowledge about the area that's going to be discussed, and that you have to deal with students from where they are, meaning you have to know what their prior experiences have been. And I think this has been surprising to students because they always were taught as though they were a blank slate.
I've brought a lot of that sort of pedagogical content knowledge into practice when I've gone out in tutoring. I've been able to notice certain things in individuals while tutoring them, and I've been able to approach it in such a way where I can be like, okay, I understand their misconception. How can we bridge this misconception into something where we can actually understand the actual concept so that the students have the conceptual basis and the conceptual knowledge in order to approach the situation, and so that they can learn from their mistake or alternative conception, however you may choose to call it.
One good example in science of a misconception that many people have, including my students, has to do with what causes the seasons. And if you ask students to please explain why it is warmer in the summer in the Northern Hemisphere and colder in the winter, the most frequent answer, essentially the only answer you get, is that we are closer to the sun in the summer and that makes it warmer, and farther away from the sun in winter, which makes it cooler. In fact, that's not true. To a small degree, the opposite is true. What people have forgotten about, although they knew and had not brought to bear on this particular question, is that the Earth has a tilt to it, and therefore the rays of the sun more directly and longer hit one hemisphere more in the summer than in the winter.
Our general philosophy is that the pedagogy should come out of the content. It should not come out of something that's added on top of courses that you already take. So it's not that you do a mathematics major and then we tell you a little pedagogy on top. The idea was that we wanted to have students learn mathematics in the context of trying to think about how they would teach the subject. And this is really, I think, unique about our program.
Well, especially in the introduction to teaching math course that I took during the winter this year, with really humbling experience to analyze like basic middle school, high school, and some elementary school problems and see how difficult they can be if you're asked to thoroughly explain your thought process throughout the whole way. And like collaborating with other students was really interesting to see how we all thought about different approaches and put them together to find a solution that none of us on our own really could think of on our own or didn't realize until we worked together. And compared to like a lot of my other courses in upper division math, we don't have that kind of engagement with like other students where we work together on the problems. And I think it was really beneficial to see like other people's viewpoints and how to solve problems.
I often find myself thinking back to Math 87 in that we analyze student mistakes, and I think that I'm pretty good as a first-year teacher, especially, I'm pretty good at looking at what a student is doing, and if it's wrong, I can figure out, oh, they made a mistake here, or they might have been thinking this. So Math 87 helped a lot in listening to the student and observing what they were doing to find out what their thinking is, thinking about their thinking.
When observing, like, the classrooms and seeing, like, students have difficulty solve problems and ask for help, after the seminars, I'm much less inclined to give them hints directly. I actually want to understand why they're doing such operations and why are they thinking what they are thinking. And that's helped me analyze how I could correct some of their misconceptions and help them further along their learning by correcting something that they may have misunderstood before in the past. Seeing novel solutions, I have a better appreciation for it because now I understand that there's not just one definite way. In our introduction to teaching math class, we saw 5 different ways to solve one problem.
These kind of questions have, for a long time, I was unable to answer them when students ask me, because the only thing I can do is repeat what they said louder, okay? Because I can understand what they're saying. But really what you're saying is deep, okay? It took me a long time, and this has to do with the teaching aspect, that it takes a long time to realize what students really are thinking. If you approach students' thinking seriously, that what they are asking is very meaningful, then you invest into thinking why they are thinking so.
I was in a class, or 2 classes, with Ms. Vernock. I was glad to see that she was incorporating a lot of things that we were learning in the math seminar about the difficulties we have with learning math. And with, like, apparent through, like, the way she was presenting, like, the material, she would go through multiple ways to solve problems, and the students were able to pick which way they were more comfortable with, rather than being told it's this way, follow it.
Error analysis plays into at least my interactions with them in the classroom. And when I'm planning, I think, okay, well, how will certain students think of this? I need to present this topic in a couple different ways, for students to tackle this topic, because I know the way, I'm familiar with some, the way that some of my students think and how they might approach a problem or errors that they might make.
What I've learned from the program is, and what I bring from the program into my work while solving problems and while having all sorts of different issues, is I bring the conceptual-based approach, which it vastly differs than the plug-and-chug method. The plug-and-chug method, you don't really understand the material. You're just plugging and chugging. Whereas the conceptual-based method, you have the strong content knowledge that's necessary in order to solve the problems. And you can relate more and apply more to a vast number of issues and other applications.
The goal is not teaching. The goal is learning. And we want our students to understand that the center of this minor and of classroom activities, whether formal or informal, interactions with students, is their learning, not the teaching. So we're approaching this from the viewpoint of understanding how it is that students learn, because you must aim the work that you do, the facilitation you do as an instructor, toward how they learn and what they already know.
There was definitely an aha moment. I was like, I approached a situation and I asked myself, what am I currently doing when I'm approaching my problems in math and science and engineering? And I answered myself in such a way where I was like, wow, I'm plugging and chugging and I'm not getting as much as I could be out of the problems and out of the learning process. And then I looked at the methods that we learned in the program. Those methods I then applied, instead of the plugging and chugging, I applied the conceptual-based methods. And when I actually did a consistent effort into doing those, I noticed just a dramatic change in my abilities at solving problems. I noticed a certain ease that increased in solving the problems and just, I guess, a finer appreciation for the problems and a bigger understanding for the big ideas.
Many people think that science is the accumulation of more facts. In fact, science is a process of learning and explaining the world around us. And we are never satisfied that we're at final answers. This minor will help students better understand the nature of science in a way that they can convey that with their own students.
We want students to understand their own learning process at a much deeper level than they normally would think about it, because oftentimes they go in lectures and it's from one test to another, it's from one paper to another, but we're actually asking them to reflect on their own learning process. And we feel that's valuable even if you decide not to become a teacher.
Being involved in the new science education minor and this new program has actually changed the way I teach. It reminds me constantly to think about what I'm doing in the classroom, and I have become much better a listener. I talk less, dialogue more with the students, because I need to hear what it is they're thinking. That is the most important thing. Once I know what they do understand or don't understand, I can help move them forward in the direction of the course. But it has taken me away from the old sage on the stage model and actually has me out in the audience of my students, talking with them and listening to them talk with one another.
I would definitely love to teach in a different way than I was taught. I was taught in ways that I felt didn't really turn me on as an active learner. And through the program, I felt that I've been strongly motivated more into an active learner role. And so as a teacher in the future, I would definitely like to be able to be an active learning teacher and be able to instill those same sort of beliefs in my students to turn them into active learners so that they're engaged in their education.
A couple of the campuses have done this thing what they call pre-professional development, which looks different at the different campuses. One campus was just having speakers from some of the different
When the California Teach program was being planned, UCSD was in the enviable position of the Education Studies program and the Physical Science division already working very closely together to recruit students into the credential program. I think, though, we had reached a plateau with our recruitment efforts. We did increase the number by improving our recruitment opportunities. But what has really changed because of the California Teach initiative is the physical science departments having more activities in the department themselves to recruit students. And we are seeing an increase in interest on the campus of the Part of STEM majors.
Basically, we have this wonderful marriage between the Division of Physical Sciences and Education Studies that we can bring both perspectives to the students. And our goal is to train better math and science teachers.
I see that the CalTeach program is committed to making a difference in terms of really seeking out and laser focus on students and trying to get them into the teaching profession. There's also a collaboration there, which is not something that you usually see in higher ed, let alone public education, that usually there's these silos that are going on. And what you have is the leadership at those three departments that have decided that it's critical enough to stop talking about it and actually do something.
Once students graduate with their bachelor's degree in math, science, or engineering, with a minor in science or mathematics education, they apply to UC San Diego's credential program.
UCSD started our secondary credential program about 20 years ago, and we decided at the time that we would focus primarily on mathematics and science teachers. We have added English teachers along the way. These are areas where the Commission on Teacher Credentialing has indicated that there's a shortage in the state, so these folks are in demand. They get jobs pretty readily when they graduate from the program. But it also allowed us in San Diego to place highly qualified pre-service candidates in paid internships. UCSD typically places an intern during their graduate year on a part-time basis, 50-60% of a workload, And they are also participating in a graduate program here, a master's program in education.
I found that the UCSD program was really strong in that every project was meaningful. They took the teaching profession really seriously. They continue to encourage us to take teaching really seriously.
Several years ago, as part of one of our graduate reviews here at UCSD, we conducted a study of graduates over a five-year period to see what their retention rate was. Now, at the time, there was a widely accepted figure that the retention rate for teachers was about 50% over a five-year period, which for a profession is in a very expensive proposition. So we looked at our intern graduates, and our retention rate over that period is about 85%. In addition to staying in the profession, one of our goals is to work in schools that have highly diverse student populations to try to reduce the achievement gap by hopefully putting highly qualified teachers into schools that need them the most. And particularly over the last decade, we have found many of our students, the majority of our students, staying in the school where they interned, and therefore having an impact on that school over time. One of the reasons we think that our students are staying in teaching longer and are also staying in hard-to-staff schools is the extensive undergraduate preparation that they get before they make the decision to go into teaching. I think that students are probably spending a couple hundred hours in classrooms as undergraduates and taking additional foundation coursework that help to prepare them for entering a credential program, but also help them to understand what they're getting into.
The effort at UCSD, the teach program that basically actively recruits those students that typically would not consider education, and to get in to show students the advantages of choosing education, and support for internships and allowing folks to get a taste of what it's like to be a teacher. As a matter of fact, I didn't want to be a teacher when I started out. I wanted to be a pediatrician. And I went pre-med, I happened to, my freshman year, do a volunteer internship kind of thing at a local preschool, and I fell in love with it. And after that, I decided that I wanted to be a teacher.
The National Science Foundation has done studies that show that approximately half of the students who enter the colleges or universities as science or mathematics majors or engineering majors fail to finish in those fields. They often move to social science areas somewhere along the way. And studies have shown that one of the reasons that they might do that is that they don't feel that the science and engineering areas are providing them the same fullness of experience that they might like. They may be looking for careers that involve public service. One of our hopes is that students who are in these minors, science education or math education, will realize early in their career, as early as freshmen when they get involved in these minors, that we can provide them with career opportunities that will capitalize on their abilities in science and mathematics, as well as letting them pursue their interests in public service.
I think if we're going to continue to recruit STEM majors into teaching, we have to treat them like we do in any other profession and provide some kinds of financial support for them, maybe as undergraduates, but certainly during that credential year when they're all working very hard. At least in our case, they make some money, but they're still paying fees here at the university.
One of the specificity of CalTeach, which is particularly exciting, is, and it's going on here at UCSD, is taking some of the best math and science students and attracting them towards science careers and teaching careers so that they can become apostles, missionaries, and cheerleaders for science for a much larger number of people. That is critical.
There are so many students at UCSD that are true science and math whizzes. Their first love is science and math. And I guess we're really intrigued with the possibility that if you take someone whose first love is science and math and interest them in teaching, you may actually end up with one of those rare and special kind of teachers that can truly transmit their love and passion for the subject to the students that they teach.
That's the most rewarding part, when they ask on-topic questions. They're really curious about the mathematics, and then I can launch into a discourse with them and investigate the mathematics with them. Because I'm here to communicate mathematics with them. So when they're there too, that's the best part. And when I see the light bulb go on that they're getting it or they want to get it, that's the best part for me. They want to learn.
Those are really joyous moments of me when I see the students really understanding the content rather than memorizing or plug and chugging. I would strongly recommend this program if you're going into teaching, and even if you're not going into teaching, because it really opens up your mind to all sorts of these ideas and concepts.
If you think about some of the biggest issues in society today, energy, the environment, what are we going to do? Should we have a hydrogen-based economy? Should we not have a hydrogen-based economy? Should we bring back nuclear energy? Should we not have nuclear energy? How are we going to deal with water resources in a desert climate like San Diego? These are all issues that really relate to fundamental science, and it's very hard to see how one could make a good decision or choose a political leader to make a decision without having a solid basis in that you can understand what the issues are. It doesn't mean that you have to work the solution yourself, but it guides you in terms of making a decision in terms of the solution maker.
As important as I think it is for meeting biotech's need for workforce, I think that science and math skills are as important in terms of life skills as reading and language.
There's so many other places in society where you have to, quote, be a teacher. I mean, if you're going to be a manager in a company, you have to bring people along and you have to teach people various kinds of concepts. If you're going to go into government, you still have to be an effective communicator. So I think this is a great preparation for all students in terms of going on and thinking about how they can communicate their ideas to other people. And the best way to do that is when you actually are worried about how that affects the people who you're talking to. And teachers, of course, have to do that on a day-to-day basis. And I think when students start to think that way, it not only enhances their own education, but enhances their ability to be more effective.
Education is a wonderful field, and it's only going to get even more important as we move out of the industrial world and into our high-tech and specialized world.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.